you have a tech leader on your team or an engineering manager who leads all the projects? What if I told you that at Uber on my team, we have none of this? Projects were led by different engineers, and even the most junior engineers led projects. You're probably thinking, can this actually work? It actually can, and it did. Hey, this is Gary with The Pragmatic Engineer, and I talked about how I develop engineers into leaders on CTO Craft Conference. This is part two in the Developing Engineers into Leaders series. You can check out the first episode here where I talk about my path into engineering management. Let's get into the recording. And at the end of the session, I'm going to answer the question of, do you need to be a great engineer to become a great engineering leader? And my answer might surprise you.
So how do you remove some of that luck from that journey? How do you go about creating the pathway to leadership in engineering when you're building out your teams going forward? What approach do you take to creating the pathway for others to leadership within your organizations?
I became a leader, I'm going to say by luck. I was at the right time, at the right place where this was Skyscanner, where a team was expanding. Because at Skype, I wasn't given this. Well, I was given some leadership opportunity with the Scrum Master, but I would have never become an official manager at some point. And there was no real concept at Skype. The teams had a manager and there was a senior engineer, and it was kind of democracy, but it was the senior engineers had a bigger say. It felt a bit hierarchical. What I started to do at Uber when I joined is, looking back at myself, I was a pretty capable leader, and I saw some other people around me who were also just good at natural leading, but they never got that opportunity. My manager took a big risk on me at Uber because he had 30 reports. He was actually about to quit. He asked to hire more managers, but we couldn't hire fast enough, or he kept saying no to people. I'm not sure which one. And he advocated for me to become a manager. My management chain did not want me to become a manager at Uber because Amsterdam back then had this impression that we had too many junior managers, including my manager. And my manager stood to the ground. He said, I think Gergay is good. In the end, he said, if we don't get me into apprentice management, or he doesn't get support, he's going to leave. And that's how I got into apprentice management. So he put a lot of faith into me. And in the end, he told me that he was happy that he did that. And I wanted to repay this. Also, one of the things, when you're a leader, you do have the opportunity to take a chance on people. And what I find is, when you do this, and I know we talked about this, but you have a somewhat similar philosophy in your venture capital investments. Maybe we can touch on that. On when you give people who seem a little bit underdogs or not expecting the opportunity, they will work harder. So my observation was, if I give, and you know, like, I think that's a bit how you're investing right now, no?
I like to think so. Yeah, absolutely.
What I started to do at Uber is I assigned a lead role to each of the projects that we were running on my team. I had initially about 5 to 8 people, let's say 8 people, and we had about 2 to 3 projects running parallel. I could have led all the projects myself. I could have been the, you know, I told people what to do or whatnot, or we could have had the senior engineers run it. I actually made it clear that we're going to have a lead on each team who needs to follow certain expectations from me. So I will be accountable and responsible. If a project goes wrong and someone needs to be fired, I should be the one, or, you know, they're not going to fire me, I hope, and they didn't, that should be me. But I'm going to pass on responsibility to the person, and I'm going to tell them what I expect from them. I'll be careful not to micromanage. So I'll tell them that I expect this and that. I publicly made a statement to the team that this person is the lead for the project. Initially, I assigned the most senior people who actually had some experience leading projects to lead these projects, and I was there to help them and support them, and I wanted them to succeed. And also, whenever the project would go well, they would take the limelight. If it goes poorly, I'm going to take the blame on it. And then I start to rotate. So after we had 1 or 2 people or 3 people who led this project, I told them for the next one, I'd like this more junior person to lead the project. And they were really surprised. Both the junior person was like, what? Are you sure? I was like, yep. And some of the senior people were like, hang on, are you sure? I did a pretty good job. I'm like, yes, you did a good job. But now your task is to help this person succeed, to mentor them, to set them up for success. And I followed this model, which I didn't come up with this, by the way. There's a book called Turn the Ship Around, where a Navy officer in the U.S. Navy and in submarines, he apparently rolled out something similar, where he turned from one of the worst performing submarines that he had no clue how to operate into the best performing one by delegating responsibility. And the response has been very, very good. Retention on my team was non-existent. People did not leave the company throughout my tenure for about 4 years. Promotions were just very fast for people because they took on more responsibility. And I wasn't optimizing for that, but this happened. And people just became, I'm going to say they grew faster than on other teams, not on every team, but in general. And, you know, I don't want to overgeneralize, right? Everyone has their own path. But it seemed it just worked. People were more confident, and people started to have this leader identity outside of when they were leaders. They took more initiative. They started to talk with product people. They brought ideas. They challenged the product managers. Product managers love working with my team because they said everyone just is so independent and autonomous. So this is what worked for me.
So I think that's fantastic. So to kind of wrap that up, for you it was a case of give people the opportunity, give them the chance to show leadership, and then support them and mentor them as they do that, right? And give them that chance.
And one thing I learned, I'm going to jump on that. One thing I learned early on is it's not enough to give the opportunity. Some people just don't know how to do it. And I got this idea from someone or somewhere I read, the levels of delegation. If someone doesn't know how to do something, you actually direct. You tell them do 1, 2, and 3. And don't ask questions, just do it. It sounds harsh, but that's what you want to do. If someone is better at it, you mentor them, you say, here's how I would do it, but you know, feel free to do it differently, like without any irony. And if someone is better than you, you just get out of their way. They say, and you coach them, you ask them, have you thought of this? What about this edge case? What is your biggest challenge? Those kind of things, those soft coaching questions. The mistake I made early on actually was I gave too much leeway to people. Some people were freaked out on how should they lead a team. I had a document that had really vague expectations because I didn't want to tell them what to do exactly. So I actually did a revised version saying, if you're a first-time project lead, do daily stand-ups, send an email to me every week. Here's a template you should use. Do all of these things. I had a long list. And I said, and after you've done this, talk to me about it and reflect on it. And for your next project, you can decide what you want to change. And that actually helped a lot of people. Some people wanted to be micromanaged in the sense of they were just really afraid of how to do this. It was a big surprise for me because I think I already forgot what it was like for me when I just had no clue.
But what I like there is you really distinguish between how do you coach juniors and those who want to become leaders, but there's also that distinction between people who are becoming a leader versus those who are leaders or are senior, and how do you coach them as well? Because you have leaders in your team. Leading on to our next question, and this is a really big one. A lot of people ask this. Do you believe you need to be a great engineer to be a great engineering leader?
So my short answer is yes, but it's not just because of what my experience is. I'm not going to say great engineer by it. I'm going to say a competent engineer. I talked with a leader, an engineering manager, who told me that they felt they made a big mistake early in their career. After 2 years of being an engineer, they really wanted to become a manager. They knew they wanted to become a manager. They had the opportunity. They became a manager. And a few years in, they felt out of their depth when they had to mentor these people with 10 or 20 years of experience as engineers, and they were never at the senior role. So what they did actually at Uber, they came to Uber to become a senior engineer, worked in that role for 2 years, and they went to being back an engineering manager. And they said they needed that two years to prove and to learn. And now they can actually mentor and help coach. So what I advise to people, and I advise to everyone, is if you have an opportunity to move into management or to try it out, you know, take it, because there aren't too many opportunities, and you want to see if you're any good at it and if you like it. But be patient enough to wait until you're at, let's say, a senior level. So like maybe when you have 5 years in the industry and you've moved around a little bit, you're confident that you're a good engineer. Because one of the first things you need to do as a manager is you are expected to mentor and coach people to at least to that, whatever that senior level is, not necessarily beyond, but you should pop when people don't write good enough code, when they have collaboration issues, when they have obvious bugs in their architecture, you should be able to point resources, etc. If you don't have that, you can still be a good manager, but it'll be hard for you to win the trust of the engineers. It'll be hard for you to grow with them. You're going to be a hands-off manager. And every leader I've ever worked with personally who I look up to has always been, they had that technical sense because they were at some point a senior engineer or that level. It's, you know, it's not about the title, it's about that expertise. I think you need to do that. And this is my opinion. You might see that you can be proven wrong, but I feel this is a safe way. I think it's very risky. You can be a good manager without doing that, but you need to have some very good senior engineers on your team who can help you and who you can rely on fully. If you don't have that, you'll be in trouble.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree with you more.
If you have more questions on my approach, feel free to drop them in the comments. And feel free to check out my other videos on software engineering and engineering management. Subscribe so you don't miss the next videos. Thanks.